We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text Number 9. Brahma Uvacha. Brahma Uvacha.
Lord Brahma says, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I'm very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have, without reservation, surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instruction. Please receive. Lord Brahma said, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have, without reservation, surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instruction. Good boy. The relationship between the father and the son is always sublime. The father is naturally disposed with goodwill towards the son and is always ready to help the son and his progress in life. But in spite of the father's goodwill, the son is sometimes misguided because of his misuse of personal independence. Every living entity, however small or big he may be, has the choice of independence. If the son is unreservedly willing to be guided by the father is 10 times more eager to instruct and guide him by all means. The father and son relationship as exhibited here in the dealings of Brahma and Mana is excellent. Both the father and the son are well qualified, and their examples should be followed by all humankind. Mana, the son, unreservedly asked the father, Brahma, to instruct him, and the father, who is full of Vedic wisdom, was very glad to instruct. The example of the father of mankind may be rigidly followed by mankind, and that will advance the course of the relationship of fathers and sons. Brahma Vasa Priti Sudhya Mahantaka Vasista Dhan Sidhisara Yanya Vyali Kena Hidya Hidya Sari Nidya Sari Nidya Yatmana Pitam. Lord Brahma said, my dear son, O Lord of the world, I am very pleased with you, and I desire all blessings for both you and your wife. You have without reservation surrendered yourself unto me with your heart for my instruction. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pranamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Vajrayane Nirvishesha Srinivasa Kasya Dwaya Sukhayana. Here is an example of a proper relationship between a father and a son. The relationship between the father and the son is not meant for some set of occasions. All relationships are ultimately meant to develop our relationship with the original father, Lord Krishna, who said in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Yama Sikondhya, Mordhya Sambhavantiya, Tatsam Brahma Hamdi Japadhapita. That it should be understood that all of the entities take birth in this material world, and that I am the original father. In other words, it may appear to us that we have relationship with many living entities, but while we're relating with many living entities, the essence or behind every relationship is our relationship with Lord Krishna. We cannot avoid a relationship with Lord Krishna. That relationship is eternal. as Krishna says, Vamayvamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhutakshanatana, Manakshastra Nindiyani, Kalkidhi, Kalkidhi. Yeah, Kalkidhi. We'll be living under these in the material world. Vamayvamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhutakshanatana. That they're all my part and parcel, eternally. Although presently we're all struggling with material existence, namely with this material body. And therefore, in relation to this body, we form so many other relationships. Those relationships are not false, they are in relation to this body. But unless we understand properly our relationship with this body, unless we understand properly our relationship with the Supreme Lord who's within the body, then we don't actually understand properly our relationships with everyone else who are in relationship to the body. As I mentioned before, but it's always worthwhile mentioning again, for those who haven't heard it, that it is not that at any point that we ourselves as souls cease to become devoted. We're eternally devoted. It is only a question of who or what we want to devote our energies to. It is only a question of who or what we want to give our love to. And in the material concept of life, we take this body as our most beloved deity. As I've said before many times, we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and immediately we become curious. After seeing the image within the mirror, we ask the mirror, the image in the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And at once, without any doubt or hesitation, we receive the message coming in our heart from the mirror on the wall that by good fortune and pious activities over many, many lifetimes, you've achieved the ultimate goal of life, having darshan with the supreme deity in the mirror. Being convinced, being assured by the message received within our heart, we vow to render unalloyed, uninterrupted service 25 hours a day to the beauty within our heart and in the mirror. Fulfilling our vows, we perform abhishek to our duty as part of our sadhana. Namely, we take a shower if we're a little pious. We decorate the deity, we clothe the deity, we make the deity smell nicely for other worshippers so they can appreciate the deity. We offer all kinds of nice food to the deity as much as within our means to serve the deity. We pray the deity, the fire of digestion within the heart is expansion, to please accept our offering and distribute it throughout the body, throughout the other parts and parcels of the deity. And then we go out into the world on Sankirtan to spread the glories of the deity all over the world. So this is also one conception of life. But it is not a complete conception of life. Unfortunately, in modern society, we don't have the proper training, generally speaking, from our biological parents, how the proper, what is his body? What is their body? What is everyone in this material world, how to see things properly, without understanding the root, where everything's coming from, without understanding the purpose behind everything, it is very difficult to understand how to properly relate to the rest argue. Well, in this example, Yutha Thura Mula Nishe Sunayana Yutjanti Tatsana Dujau Yutaka. That just like if one waters the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. Or, like supplying food to the stomach, naturally the food goes to all the different parts of the body. So in the same way, by serving the root of creation, namely Krishna, who we have a relationship as son and father, by engaging in that relationship, then naturally we understand how to properly relate ourselves to all other living entities. If we do not understand our relationship with the Father, then how is it possible to understand our relationship with our brothers and sisters? If we don't know who our Father is, how will we know who our brothers and sisters are? If we don't know who the original Father is, how will we know that in reality every living entity is our brother and sister? Therefore, the spiritual master, coming into super succession, that is his message. That all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and we have to learn how to serve Krishna while simultaneously serving all living entities within this material existence. Therefore he says, Tadvini Pranipatena, Pari Prasena Sevaya, Upadesh Sankite Jnanam, Jnanina Kshatradarsanaha. Now, the first quality is submission. Anyone who's taking the goal of life to become more and more powerful in the material world, they cannot be submissive to one who is surrendered to Krishna. It is said, dharma-sutta-dham-nitha-nitha-yam, mahajna-yena-kata-sapanja. But if we want to understand reality, tarka-pratishta-sutta-yadi-dhina, it is very difficult simply by arguing. Kali Yuga is a yuga everyone is trained up how to become a better or expert in arguing. And ultimately, the essence of the argument is, I say I'm the best, and you say I'm not. There's something wrong with you, but I forgive you. Because I'm a devotee. I simply have to educate you somehow or another to understand what is reality. If you don't understand who I am, then how will you understand everything else? But I am very patient. I will try many different ways. I will try not to get angry. But even if I get angry at you for not understanding reality, don't worry. It is simply mercy. That's the essence of the argument. I am the Lord, but I try to be benevolent to all my creation. So everyone is coming into the world to acquire this mood of being the Lord of your creation, and in this way learning how to be happy being in the world. Unfortunately, there are some living entities who have not realized the truth, and my mission is to help them. Life after life, until they all finally realize who is the Supreme, namely me. Therefore, to everyone think, everyone should humbly approach me, and when people humbly approach me, I feel good for them. And my job is to help others realize that they should humbly approach me, but I cannot degrade myself by coming to the platform of becoming too humble in relation to others. Therefore, with such a mentality, it's very hard to become submissive. And what to speak of someone who's giving the message that ultimately I'm not God. If someone is giving the message, my dear sir, it is hard to see through your effulgence. I realize that. But somehow or another, I realize that behind the effulgence, I'm seeing God. Therefore, let me offer my respect to you, O Supreme. I realize that you are God, but I am trying to help you realize that you are God, and for a small price, I can help you realize that you are God. $50 in 3 months. But if someone comes with a message, my dear sir, you are 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size, and you're not getting any bigger. There is no health food that I have. There is no monetary I can give you. There is nothing I can give you. The only thing I can help you do is realize that you are 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size. As you've probably heard the story before, one time, Srila Prabhupada, our Eternal Father within this movement, was telling one of his sons in Los Angeles, my dear son, this particular devotee was a temple commander in one of the biggest temples we had in the movement at that time, 1968. There were at least 20 devotees in the temple. It was a maha big temple. He said, my dear son, that in the spiritual world, there is one planet called Kaloka Vrindavan. It is infinite, but it's so infinite that all the other infinite planets, known as Vaikuntha planets, they can all fit into that infinite Kaloka Vrindavan. And in that infinite spiritual world, sometimes there's a cloud that forms. It is so small that no one even thinks it's going to rain. They hardly even notice it. And in that cloud that forms, the Supreme Lord in the form of Karna Dakasai Vishnu, he expands himself. Well, he rests there in the Kaila ocean, the causal ocean, and from his body, unlimited universes emanate, more universes than there are grains of sand on the beach. And in one universe, out of all those practically unlimited universes, the Supreme Lord has expanded himself as Baba Dakasai Vishnu, as he's expanding himself in all the universes. He's lying down in the Bhagavad ocean, and from his navel sprouts a lotus flower, and the smallest Brahma of all the universes is born with four heads. And in that lotus flower, there are unlimited planets that he creates. And one of those planets, which is floating as a little speck of dust in the air, one of those little planets is called the Earth planet. And on the Earth planet, there are so many continents, one of which is North America. In North America, there is one state called California, in which there is one city called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, there is one street called La Senega Boulevard. And on that street, there is one house. And in that house, there is a temple. And in that temple, there is one devotee. He's the temple commander. And he thinks he's controlling everything. spiritual father comes to teach us that he is aham sarvasukhado matat sarvam prabhatate iti matra bhajante nam bhura bhava samanjitaha. So he's the cause of everything. Everything's flowing from him. The wise who know that, they worship him with all their heart. And what happens after that? Mat sita mat sita prana bhori antas kharas pram sita antas kharam nityam tisam tisaram antisam. The devotees who discuss that science of how to love Krishna, how to love everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, they learn not only to become more humble, seeing how great Krishna is, but more transcendentally discriminating how to please Krishna, how to love Krishna in all his different forms. It is not that we are fanning Krishna with one hand and stepping on Krishna's foot with the other. We have to learn to love Krishna in the form of his beauty, in the form of his book, in the form of his devotee, even in the form of the super soul who resides in the hearts of all of the entities, in the form of his energy. The spiritual master teaches us how to recognize Krishna within everything and how to properly act in such a way as to advance, especially in this world, love of Krishna, awareness of Krishna, and love for Krishna within the hearts of all living entities. How to become nimitra matram bhava-sava-sasya. Not to think ourselves to be the Lord, but to always feel ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And that representative of Krishna who teaches us how to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, he is known as the spiritual master. He imparts the Vedic knowledge to us, and the ultimate Vedic knowledge is how to see Krishna, how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to glorify Krishna. And Krishna will reciprocate with us according to how we serve his devotees coming in after session. And how, what is the proof? What is the criteria by which Krishna reciprocates with us? Tesham sadhatam yukdhanam sajantam pitipurvatam vadani buddhiyogantam yenamam opiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, then I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Just like one time I was sitting for two probably talking to another devotee myself who was in Buffalo in 1969 for some hours. I had the good fortune before I went to class when Prabhupada was, I was at the University of Buffalo in New York, and I had the good fortune, I had classes in the afternoon, and I'd come sometimes and sit with Sri Prabhupada while he was preaching to guests or to other devotees or myself for sometimes 2 or 3 hours a day. And one day I was getting a little bored, and Sri Prabhupada was preaching, and he mentioned many things about how we should deal with devotees and how to become Krishna conscious. Doing things every 10 minutes, 20 minutes, Prabhupada would stop talking to us and pick up his due bag and told us, if you have any time, extra time, then pick up your due bag and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then my mind was wandering a little bit, or a lot. And because before I came to the movement, I was practicing yoga, sometimes up to 8 hours a day, hatha yoga. I was sitting there, I had read some books, and I was trying to figure out how to dissolve clouds in the sky, etc. So I was sitting there, Prabhupada was talking to me and another devotee. And I thought, well, let me see what Prabhupada's aura looks like. So I started to meditate on Prabhupada's aura, and Prabhupada looked at me and said, immediately, our process is not mystic yoga. Our process is bhakti.
Oh, okay.
Bhakti mama vijayanti, yavan kaismas vitasvataha. Sitoman tapito jaka, vichitetar anandara. That if one wants to enter into Krishna consciousness, whatever discrimination we have to learn from the devotees how to infuse bhakti, love, service, without discrimination. But nor should we simply love the devotees and not know how to properly serve them, how to have proper discrimination. That depends on relying upon the super soul within our heart. And that knowledge of how to rely upon the super soul within the heart, that sadhana, that knowledge, is given to us by the devotee coming into super succession. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many techniques, especially these five important techniques, how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna, to worship the deities, to serve the devotees, to chant the holy name, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to live in a holy place, and to make the world into a holy place. Unless we're engaged in those activities, and unless we're engaged in the activities to make Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadev, unless we're engaged in the activities to spread Krishna consciousness, our awareness of Krishna, our love for Krishna, our Krishna consciousness will always remain incomplete. One time Srila Prabhupada wrote to me, as I've said before, I was trying to find out different realms of transcendental awareness, how to understand and how to come to that higher level of bhakti, ruchi, prema, etc. And Srila Prabhupada wrote me a letter, and in the letter he inspired, tried to inspire me to go out in Harinam. This is 1968, we were just starting Harinam, a little Bhagavad Gita book distribution on the street. And then at the end of the letter, he wrote to me. He said that the boys and girls in the country are generally good souls. That's why they're taking birth in such a nice country. That in New York, in just 2 weeks, they distributed 3,000 Dr. Godhead. And that I've heard that in Buffalo, you're also distributing Dr. Godhead very nicely. Please continue in this way. Oh, then he also mentioned, he said that in San Francisco, we just had Rathiyatra, and 10,000 boys and girls were dancing and chanting in full ecstasy. So please continue in this way. And that as Krishna sees that you're seriously trying to help bring his children, other children, back to the spiritual kingdom, then he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna, he's never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. This does not mean that only we should go outside and preach. This means that especially we should go outside and preach to the innocent. But we should also act in such a way as to the best of our ability. In relation with the devotees, we become their servant. We learn how to see the devotees as servants of Krishna. The higher devotees, those who have more realization of Krishna than ourselves, those who are equal, and those who are less advanced than we are. How to see them as our masters, as our Prabhu, not as our God. How to pray to Krishna, to the intelligent, how to act, how to speak in such a way that we're appropriately servant of all the devotees, higher, equal, or lower. In such a way that Krishna and the previous disciples become pleased with us, and therefore we're able to attain their mercy, the intelligence to understand things properly, and the love to feel things in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada once explained, that even the topmost devotee who sees everything clearly, how does he see things, even when he's taking the position of a spiritual teacher or spiritual master? In one conversation, one lecture in Vrindavan in 1972, Prabhupada was explaining how a devotee sees other devotees. He said a devotee, even a spiritual master, he understands whatever knowledge about Krishna he has, it is coming by the mercy of his spiritual master and Krishna. He has no independent knowledge of Krishna, other than that received through the mercy of his spiritual master and Krishna. And when he gives instruction to go to his disciples, he understands that I am simply an instrument. That knowledge is coming down into simple succession. And when he sees his disciples following out those instructions, then he learns from them how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. In that way, he takes his disciples as his teacher. In other words, we have to study Prabhupada's books. We have to hear from those who have more realization about Krishna consciousness than us. Learn how to hear from everyone, especially the devotees, in such a way as that we become more and more humble. We realize that we're actually dealing with Krishna. We're not simply dealing with our material conceptions, whatever our material conception may be. Generally, we see superiors and we pray to them to help us advance to become a superior. We see our equal and we compete with them to become a superior. We see our inferiors and we try to push them down so they don't become competitors to us in our struggle to ultimately become divine incarnations of something. No, instead, we see every opportunity a spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada or others who follow in his footsteps, they teach us how to see every opportunity as an opportunity to become more and more humble, to see more and more clearly that we're dealing with Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was installing Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, he mentioned that Sanatana Goswami, he was talking to his guru, Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan, before he had come to live with Sanatana Goswami, he was living in a very nice Brahmin's house, getting that very nice prasad every day. But before he had come to live with Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami had given a disclaimer to Madan Mohan. He told Madan Mohan, I'm very poor, I don't have a nice house, I can't give you very nice food. If you want to come anyhow, it's up to you. Madan Mohan, more or less, he said, all right, I'll take my chances. Lo and behold, he came to live with Sanatana Goswami, and much to his surprise, his house is now on a branch of a tree. He said, all right, at least the prasadam should be all right. Unfortunately, Sanatana Goswami, he'd go and beg every day, and he brings out one or two pieces of bread, roti. So he's offering these pieces of bread to Madan Mohan, and one day Madan Mohan, he more or less caught it. Or they say in English, he cracked. He said, Sanatana Swami, I came to live with you. I want a tree, my God, a tree. I said I'd accept whatever you gave me, but please, couldn't you give me a little salt with a piece of bread? Sanatana Swami Maharaj said, now you're asking for salt, next you're asking for sweet. What can I do? I'm a poor man. I can hardly move. Please, out of love, I'm offering you whatever I have. Kindly accept it. And then Prabhupada says that Madan Mohan, he had to accept it. Because he was offered with so much love and devotion. He had no choice. He was overwhelmed with Sanatana Goswami's devotion. And then Prabhupada said, but what is your qualification? And what is the qualifications of the things that you have? He said, it's nothing. But the real thing is bhakti. The Krishna, tiny step. I have no devotion. I'm rotten. And I'm fallen. But I'm offering you these things. And then Prabhupada started to cry. And he said, that will do. Don't be puffed up. Always remember that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. Thank you. So what is the duty or the duty in everyone's heart? We have to be trained up as such an exalted personality as Srila Prabhupada. And by those who follow Srila Prabhupada, how to see the duty within everyone's heart, how to see the duty within the book, how to see the duty in the altar, how to see the duty in the holy places, how to see the duty in the association of the devotees, so that we don't become puffed up. We always learn how to love Krishna. And we can't, in that way, become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness as true Prabhupada desire. Thank you. There's no time for questions, unfortunately. But it is a time. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.